Generosity. Remove, Lord, the doubts, the hurts. Give us, Lovis. Give us, Lord, a soft heart. May we be, Lord, keen to the things of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, a special blessing for all of those who are here this morning. Here, Lord, to partake in your word and to hear your word. We bless your holy name, Father. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, just so you are aware, Tuesday morning service has been traditionally called How to Keep Your Healing Service. And it will be always called How to Keep Your Healing Service. But it's not always that we're going to preach about healing. Okay? While the emphasis and the focus is on how to keep your healing, how to receive your healing, how to obtain your healing, it could be emotional healing, mental healing, physical healing. While it might be that, there are so many things that surround that topic. So many things. And I've thought about this before, and I think now is a right time for me to address this. It's not an issue. It's not an issue whatsoever. I think now is just time to address any questions that anyone might have concerning this. I'm fully aware that some folks who traditionally might not come and attend with us on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Sunday evening and such would sometimes or once in a while or ever so once in a while come to a Tuesday morning service to obtain something, specifically a healing from God. And may it always be so. We will always pray for you in any given service. Every service is a healing service. Every service is a miracle service. This is what we stand by. This is what we will continue to stand by. This is what we're going to fight. When we come here, we fight spiritual battles. We intercede. We speak against the spirit of sickness and diseases, in between so many other things. But the reason why I'm starting with this is because in order for us to obtain healing, something has to happen. Something must have had to happen, or something must happen continuing now, moving forward. That's always the case. As I often say, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will never embarge in your personal space if it's not wanted. And there are so many things that would hinder our breakthrough. Within the last 7 days, I've just been basking on so many different things in the spiritual world. Some of them that will be coming across your way within the next few days or a couple of weeks. But the Lord is never going to embarge in your personal space. And you must know what to do to get in the right side of God. You know? Oftentimes, unforgiveness hinders a blessing. The Bible says, and I was just speaking about this Sunday morning, the Lord said that in order for your sacrifice and your offering and your praise and admiration, put all that in a bundle. In order for that to be accepted, the Lord say that if you come to the altar and you have something in your heart against your brother, just leave it right there. Okay? It's like you come just like this. You walk up and you come, say, hey, I have unforgiveness against my neighbor. Okay, I'm creating a visual here. I'm going to set this down here. And I come and say, neighbor, I'm sorry I parked on your lawn. I'm sorry my dog left a mess on your side of the fence. Whatever it might be. And then you come back to church. Here's my praise offering, Lord. You know, here's my love offering. Your tithe is your duty, is your Christian duty. An offering is from the heart. It's love. And so many other things. Do you understand? Unforgiveness, grudges, hurt, ill will, lack of love. So many things could intercept what you might be asking of God. Could be intercepting what you're looking for, you know? And this is why we have these services, we have these Bible studies. And all of these things do tie into how to obtain your healing. And once you've obtained it, how to keep your healing, you know? And I will preach about healing on a Tuesday morning. Sure thing. As soon as the Lord says, I want you to talk about this, here's the material for that, here's where to find it, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the Lord just opens up the ways, and I, you know, my labor just went from like here to like here. You know, boom, 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 it just comes together. But in His perfect will, you know? So, is everybody on the same page as I am right now? Right? I want us to be on the same page, right? So, for the next, I'd say maybe at least a couple of weeks, I don't know if I'm going to get through what I have in front of me right now today. But at least for the next couple of weeks, I would like to speak about spiritual growth. And that will be the topic for the next couple of weeks here on Tuesday morning, how to keep your healing. Because the knowledge of the Word of God, knowing what to do, and everything else in between is going to equip you to get you to what you want, where you want to be, what you should be doing, and what you should not be doing. Spiritual growth. And it took a little while for me to be convinced that this is what the Lord wanted me to speak about on Tuesday mornings. And I got the confirmation last night. Now is the time. So, I'm saying all of this to say that, yes, we are going to preach about healing, but it is equally important for you to not ignore what is necessary for the breakthrough in your life, for what you seek, for yourself, for your family member, for your coworker, for your neighbor, whatever you want to do. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned one thing. Were you here when I spoke about a meaningful prayer? It was, I think it was about a month ago. Maybe a month and a week or so. I spoke about meaningful prayer. And in that opening, the first thing that I mentioned to you was that in order for you and I to develop meaningful prayer, it starts with one thing, and that is your will. You must want. You must want to have a meaningful prayer life. And the same thing applies to what I'm going to be talking about today in reference to spiritual growth. And what is that? Spiritual growth is a choice. I want you to know that. It is 100% a choice. And the bulk of what I'm going to speak about today is just about that. Is you wanting to. We're going to start right there. Now, just as a healthy physical life is one of growth, okay? So a healthy spiritual life is also a process of growth. Do you agree with that statement or do you disagree? Amen. Your spiritual health is 100% growth. Now, sadly, not all Christians grow spiritually. And that's a very sad statement. Not all of them grow. Many have been Christians for many years. Many, 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 many years they've been Christian. They've been going to church. They were born in a Christian home. They go to church once a week, every single Sunday. They have their original Bible from 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. With little change and with little improvement. And we don't want to be that. We will not be that. You know, when you come to the house of the Lord, you receive the Word of God. You receive the Word of God. It's not a watered-down Word of God. It's not something given by our own means or what have you. No. You are fed, and you have always been fed for years. So, we feed you with meat and potatoes. Meat and potatoes with a side of veggies. It's not porridge. It's not cereal. It's not milk. It is meat and taters. Meat and potatoes. So, many Christians for many years, they never change. They never see an improvement. And I'm really trying to build a suspense here. I'm trying to build something here. And I'm trying to get you fired up and excited for spiritual growth. I want to see BCFC spiritually grow. And I think we have been growing. And we need to pursue. We never need to let off the gas. Ever. And in reference to those folks that are almost on standstill, they are no more useful to the Lord than when they first became a Christian sometimes. You know, this is who we don't want to be. Oftentimes, they are yet less useful to the Lord. And when they grow to fail, they become as a stagnant pool of water. And no good thing happens with a stagnant pool of water. We know that from our physical world. That is because, folks, that is because of this first thing that I mentioned, and that is spiritual growth is a choice. It's 100% a choice. Scott. That is because they have not chosen to grow. They have not made an effort to grow. And hence the study right now. And it doesn't happen by default. Did you know that spiritual growth doesn't just happen? Unlike physical growth, spiritual growth is not the same. Spiritual growth, like emotional maturity, occurs only when we choose to grow it. Only when it comes to spiritual growth. If we do not make that choice, and most importantly, stick to that choice, there will be no spiritual growth. You're going to remain the same. Nothing is going to happen. So, let me ask you a question. Did you know that spiritual growth is a choice that is commanded by God? Our Lord God commands it. This command is implicitly stated in what we call the Great Commission. And let's read the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And now verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Our Lord Jesus commanded his disciples, his apostles, pardon me, to make disciples. The instructions of the Lord. He also told them that he should baptize, right? And also, he commanded them to teach, right? And what happens when you are taught something? You learn. And what happens when you learn? You grow. You develop. You become stronger. How many times have you heard the term knowledge is power? I mean, it's true. Knowledge is, the more you know, the more you can do, the more you are qualified. There are so many emphases and situations where knowledge is key. Knowledge is powerful. This is why spiritual growth is extremely important. Make disciples. After that, baptize them and teach them. Implicit in the commandment to teach is that disciples would be obedient learners. Or in other words, constantly growing as they learned and obeyed their Lord. Constantly learning. Commanded explicitly to the apostolic epistles was this. Now, I want to bring to your attention a specific verse from 2 Peter 3:18. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." What is the very first thing mentioned here in verse 18? Grow. Peter is saying, grow. Don't remain still. Don't be satisfied. Don't remain stagnant. Grow in the grace and the knowledge and the wisdom. Know your God. Know your Bible. Be familiar. Make sure that heaven knows who you are on a first name basis. All of heaven. Bombard heaven with prayer. Grow in knowledge in the Lord, in our Savior Jesus Christ. We are to grow in His grace. We are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an instruction. It's not an option. This is what we need to do. Peter begins his second epistle describing how we are to grow. And he speaks about it in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge." Okay, now let's stop right here. Okay, I don't want people to get sidetracked over here and forget what we're talking about. Peter right now is giving the pathway. as far as what you should be doing. And I'm actually pretty excited to develop a brief little sermon. I don't know if it's going to be a Sunday morning sermon or like a 20, 30-minute Bible study. But this is key knowledge for every single one of us to not forget. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. We start right there with diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And then after you add virtue to your faith, the very next thing is going to come knowledge. And when you have knowledge, you have self-control. When you have self-control, the next thing that you do is persevere. And here it says perseverance. To perseverance, you're going to automatically abstain godliness. To godliness, brotherly love. And it goes like butter and toast, milk and coffee. What comes after godly, brotherly kindness? Kindness, love. Pardon me. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Peter right now is laying the blueprint of how things are supposed to go. And if in case you're wondering, well, Pastor, how am I supposed to start it? What am I doing? Where do we go? Where do we start? Let's start right here. I can give you different examples of what Paul says also, and we're going to get there also. But I believe that this is key to where we need to start in our growth if we haven't started yet. Diligence. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. You wrap all of that up with love. More to come from this particular verse right here. Now, we must add to our faith such grace as virtue, knowledge, self-control, etc., etc. All these things. Abounding in these grace. Being fruitful. Which, being fruitful implies one thing. And the one thing is what we are talking about this morning. Growth. Spiritual growth. All of this. You do all of this, you go poof, kaboom. You grow, you expand. And the Christians who did not grow, did you know that they were sternly rebuked? Now, for right now, I don't plan on sternly rebuking anyone. At least for right now, okay? You guys don't worry about it. For now. I can't promise anything. But you guys aren't going to be sternly rebuked yet. But in the days of old, somebody pulled them on their ear. We read about that in Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time, you want to be teachers. You see that? You ought to be teachers by now. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Ouch. If I were to say these words to somebody right now, chances are they might not come back to church. Because they would be appalled. They would be offended. They would have their feelings hurt. But imagine if somebody would approach you and say, really? You should be a Sunday school teacher by now. And you're what? You don't know this? You don't know this. You see that? Those folks take their job seriously. They took their role seriously. And the things of God is serious business. It's 100% serious business. We don't play around with it. The Lord is a God of mercy. He's a God of love, full of compassion to every single one of us. He's a father. But nonetheless, he is stern. You know, he's steady. He doesn't deviate, as we see right here. For though by this time, you ought to be more than what you are, more than students. You ought to be teaching the word by now. You know, you ought to be ahead of what you are right now. And I want to give you solid food, but it seems as though you're still stuck on milk. And on the very next chapter, chapter 6 of Hebrews, verses 1 and 2, let's read that. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. You know, I have one thing to say about this. Don't be surprised if I call upon you to go and pray to raise the dead here one of these days. And what are you going to say? Oh, no, Pastor. No. Hey, Pastor. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. You see, what happened was, I mean, I'm being facetious right now. But you see that? I have heard there's a particular congregation in China. There's this one particular preacher. I don't think he's world famous, but he's known in the community. That if you haven't raised somebody from the dead, you're still a babe Christian. Thank you, sister. That's a good terminology. You're still on milk and bread. And that's their standard. They have set the standard. This is the standard right here. If you don't have the faith, if you don't have the know-how, if you're not walking where you're supposed to walk, if you're not here at this standard, at this line that I'm drawing right now, then you need to kick it in the gear, buddy. And I'm trying to be polite here. I really am. And I think a good 60% of that congregation of a little bit over 1,000, I believe, 500 or 1,000, have done just that. They got at least one body under their belt. And that's something for us to be wholly prideful of. Paul says, if I'm going to boast about anything, if I'm going to be proudful about anything, I'm going to boast on the Lord. You know? But here it clearly says the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment and everything else that he describes. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ. Ouch. We're not elementary school students here. You know? And ultimately, I'm not trying to put anybody down here. I know I might be coming a little bit strong right now. The purpose of these lessons that we're going to partake here in the next couple of weeks is to kick you into gear for spiritual growth. Because if we're not growing, what are we doing? If we are not developing, what exactly are we doing? And we don't want to be here. We don't want to stand right there. Spiritual growth is not an option reserved for just a few select Christians. It's not. The Word of God commands growth. It demands it. 100%. Now, we should also remember that spiritual growth is a choice that requires diligent effort. Diligent effort. First, I talked about it's commanded by God. The Lord instructs us. He tells us. He makes us. He says, this is what you're going to do. and you must oblige. But it's also in our part to be diligent in all of that. This is unlike spiritual, this is unlike physical growth. It's not the same thing. People grow physically by default. It happens natural. You know, I have a newborn child, newborn-ish now. But there was a time for quite a while that my wife and I, we would lay our baby on our sink. So we have our own bathroom that's in our bedroom. And the countertop has two sinks, so his and hers, right? Mine is here and hers is there. And there's a generous space in between, right? It's a one piece. So we laid, first we laid towels. Yeah, there's still towels in there. And the baby will fit there just perfectly. So for changing purposes, changing the diaper. So we take her diaper off, you know, clean her up, do whatnot. We have everything is in its place. Now you're going to do that, and her legs is hanging off the counter. And she's pushing on me and pushing herself up, her head up against the backsplash there. And it's not that I commanded my baby to grow. It just happened naturally, right? The same is not for spiritual. The same thing is not for the spiritual sense. We must be diligent to grow our faith, to grow our knowledge. This takes effort. This takes, let me just say it again, diligence. It takes diligence. No effort is required on our part as far as physical is concerned. We mature physically whether we want to or not. Whether we want to or not, it just happens. Don't think that just because you grow older in age, you are growing spiritually. That is not the case. So many people grow older. They were born in the church. Their parents, their grandparents, their aunts, whatever, their guardians were Christians, took them to church, showed them the way. And they decided to just stick with it. But that's all they do. They just come to church. And they have been coming to church for the past 10, 20, 30 years. Don't think that if they don't do anything, that they're growing, that they're mature Christians. That's not the case. The same does not apply. Just because you are getting older in age doesn't mean that you are automatically getting mature spiritually. That is two very separate things, two different things. Spiritual growth requires concentrated effort. And there's a few people that spoke about these types of efforts. And I'm going to start out with our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus said that it requires labor. Labor. And we're going to cover the different aspects of requirements for spiritual growth. But we're going to start with labor of what our Lord Jesus said in John 6:27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. You see that? Don't labor for food that perishes, but for the food which endures everlasting life. Now, we all have responsibilities to maintain our household. We have responsibilities to maintain our family, to supply for our family. The Bible condones laziness 100%. The Bible says that those who sleep too much, those that don't work, they suffer hunger. They go without. They suffer lack. So, I'm not here to say that you shouldn't work or anything like that. But also, don't make it your priority. Know to prioritize. And here specifically, we're talking about labor. There is always something for us to do in the body of Christ. Every single one of us. If you are listening to my voice right now, there's something for you to do in the body of Christ. Every single one of us. And you will be blessed. I am going to cover that in just a moment. Now, Paul wrote that it requires work also. But he used the terminology pressing on. You must press on, which is part of diligence. We're talking about diligence now, right? Let's go to Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here, Paul strictly, specifically says, pressing toward the goal. He's not standing still. He's moving. He's not stagnant. He's not just satisfied. He's moving forward. And now, Peter wrote that all of this does require diligence. Okay? We've covered labor. We've covered pressing on. And now we're going to wrap it up with diligence. 2 Peter 1, 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. This is part of my opening verse. I'm sorry, no, this wasn't in my opening verse. This was about 3-4 verses down. We just read all the list of things that we can start out when growing our faith. He says here, the very first thing that he says is diligence. If you are diligent, it'll give you faith. You will develop. You have faith in your God. You learn to trust in your God. And then lots of things will happen, which ultimately will cause you to grow. Grow in what? Knowledge. Knowledge in God. Like physical health, spiritual growth requires exercise. Yes? It requires exercise. Are we all here today? Yes? I know it's dreary outside. It's a rainy day. But stick with me here. All right? It requires exercise. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. But reject profanity and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now, right now, of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. There's so many benefits when we exercise our faith, when we grow in the Lord. It's both for now, right now, and also for the future, for beyond, when we go beyond this life. Does this verse take a new meaning? If you understand right now that your growth, your maturity, your development in the Lord will benefit you after this life, does this verse take a new meaning? I could elaborate in so many different ways, but that might take up too much time after we leave this earth. But it does apply after this life, not just in this life. But we're going to focus on right now. We're going to focus on diligence, pressing on, and we're going to focus on labor. There are so many special benefits that we inherit when we develop our spiritual wellness and exercise it and grow and develop it. Spiritual growth is not easy. We must work at it. It's not easy like exercise. When we were young, teenagers and kids, exercising was easy. We were full of energy. You know, our muscles were strong. Our bones were strong. Now we have to work at it. You know, we have to condition ourselves. It's not easy. The same thing is for spiritual. You must work at it. You must work at it today. You must work at it tomorrow. And as long as we live and are able to function, we must work on it. Amen. I think I have been speaking for going on 45 minutes now. I think I'm going to take a pause here. I want to make sure that you hold on to everything that was mentioned today. There's a whole lot more to be said about this. But I would like for you to participate in the studies that we're partaking right now for your spiritual benefit. Let us not remain stagnant. Let us not remain like a dead pool of water. Let's grow. Let us develop. Because your spiritual strength, because of what you can bring to the table, what you can add to the kingdom, is vital for this to grow, for this to flourish. You know, when we expand this building, when we start adding, when we have our signs, when the videos that go out starts becoming more popular, when the Lord starts moving, right? This work is going to grow. And shortly right after that, you know what's going to be needed? Is what our Lord said. Laborers. And how can the Lord count on laborers if they're stagnant? Because all that's going to happen is contention, stumbling block. People aren't going to develop. And so many things that we don't have to cover. But you understand the point that I'm trying to make. Who's to say that the Lord right now is not prepping us for the next stage? Now, whether it's you or whether it's somebody else or the next person, He will send the laborers. But the opportunity is right here, right now. Next week, I'm going to cover the benefits that you get when you heed to the word, when you work for Him, the many great blessings. The Lord is with us when we obey, when we're diligent. He blesses us. He gives us the way. He opens the way. Amen? I'd like to close with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit that abides in us, in every single one of us. Lord, I pray that You will start from this day, Lord, to water that seed that's inside of us. And Lord, I pray that You will give us, Lord, a soft heart to take in Your word, to grow in You, to develop, Lord. Every single one of us, including myself, Lord. I include myself, Lord, in this bunch. I am, Lord, Your humble servant, here to serve, Lord. And may we all, Lord, have a heart of a servant. May we all, Lord, have a heart of a child. open, Lord, to your word, to your promises, to the truth that is in the word of God. May we not, Lord, just come to church just for pastime. May we not, Lord, just come here just to punch our time clock, or our time card, I should say. May we, Lord, grow and develop and be strong, powerful men and women of God. Lord Jesus, I ask that your word will go out and go forth and bless, Lord, all of those that need to hear this message. Use us, Lord. Use every single one of us in here in a mighty, powerful way for the honor and glory of your name and your name alone. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.